The truth is, what we think we know about how social media works, the various platforms and their algorithms, is just a bunch of nonsense. And I say that because what I wanted to do was dig into the new TikTok. Well, not the new TikTok. It's been about a week now. It's been about a week. The dust has settled, and I wanted to wait a while for the dust to settle to really think about my thoughts on why this bit of content really worked well on TikTok, and then also give it some space to really validate those thoughts, right? So if you have or have not heard, there has been a TikTok sensation called Risa Tisa, who posted some content, I believe it was just after Valentine's Day or on the day of Valentine's Day, and then for about 7 to 8 days after that point. And I've seen a lot. So let me track back. Basically, it's about a young lady who starts a relationship with somebody who essentially is like a compulsive liar, has narcissistic tendencies. Now, I know it seems very abstract and very left field to what this podcast is about, particularly that story. But I think it had, for me, when I observed it, I think it had a lot of really great takeaways for marketing and for how we should produce content and where should those ideas come from and what those formats look like. So I know that there are content guidelines around how we should present ourselves on various platforms, whether that's from a B2C or a D2C perspective or a B2B perspective. There are a bunch of guidelines of how you should be perceived on LinkedIn, what kind of content LinkedIn's algorithm picks up, what kind of content does TikTok like versus X versus Instagram versus Facebook. And then you look at that from an ads point of view. So there is a lot of information swirling, and there's gurus and there are experts that say they understand the algorithm and they give you tips on how to crack the algorithm. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because it really broke the understanding of what we think works on TikTok. And so I wanted to talk about it. So the main thing is, what I've seen online is a lot of think pieces around why has this particular bit of content blown up on TikTok. And when I say blown up, she has done, and I'll explain some more, she's done about 55 videos on this particular subject. So the subject was called Who the F Did I Marry, right? So there's 50 parts to it. More 55 plots, but around 50 plots, which is that is telling the story. So a lot of people have jumped onto LinkedIn, jumped on to various places across the internet, and really had opinions about why they, how has that bit of content worked? It essentially is long form. It's about 10 minutes each video, and there's 50 parts. I've seen a lot of commentary on, well, actually TikTok favor short form content, engaging content, a bit in the style of Bear. Bear does a lot of transitions, quick snaps. The content is really quick. It keeps users engaged. It's visually appealing. And that's what a lot of people lean into at the moment because that's what we think works. But this content was completely different. It was long form. It was her in her car, talking to screen, telling a story. No transitions, no switches, just her telling the story for 10 minutes. Or in her car or sat at home somewhere. So it was very natural. It was very normal. What we might call run-of-the-mill boring content, nothing flashy about it. And a lot of people online haven't been able to understand why it went. So in terms of it being viral, so out of the 50 videos, each video now to date, when I checked this morning, has about on average 1.5 million views. And that is all in a space of Well, it's a little bit longer now, probably 3 weeks, but at the time when it started to go, 7 days. So it really took TikTok by storm. So anyway, that is the base of what I wanted to talk about. So I want to start to now to dig into why I feel like the content went. So regardless of how we think and feel the algorithms work across each platform, and I've said this before, and I will bang the drum on this and I'll say it again. There are a few things that I believe she did which made a huge difference. One, it was about story. The heart of the videos, the conversation, the content was a compelling story. It was a story that was as absurd as it was. The story was real. It was authentic. There wasn't, and how she told the story wasn't, there was no fanfare about it. There wasn't any sort of production value around it. Like I said, it was her sat in her car or sat at home somewhere on a sofa or on a table. She was just to camera in her environment telling her story. Now, the other thing that I know people kind of didn't really understand why it went is long form. 10 minutes is a long time to be on a platform to watch one video. A lot of people came to the series, what I call it, a TikTok series, a little bit later, so maybe 3 or 4 days after she started the first video. So 10 minutes to stay on one versus having to watch 30 or 40 in any particular time period is a lot of attention from any individual on any platform. It's really unheard of. And I think one of the reasons why it works really well is because she was upfront about what was going to happen at the start of each video. She laid out expectations. She told you exactly what she was going to talk about, the reasons why she was going to talk about it, and then she went into the story. So you had a bit of an expectation, a bit of a table of content. So you knew, actually, this episode is going to be about X, Y, and Z, and she's going back to either a recap or she's giving context to a particular event. So you always knew at the start of the video what you were getting into. And I think that mechanism is absolutely brilliant. And we don't do it enough in marketing. We don't lay out what we're gonna do, what we're gonna say. It's almost a surprise. It's almost, here, I'm here, here's my content, consume it. There's never this, polite trade-off of, well, actually, I'm in your space, and I know, I believe my content is valuable to you, but you have no idea what I'm going to say or why I'm going to say it. And I think if the content that really works well in general is the content that lays out the expectation. So here's what I'm going to do. Here's what value I think I'm going to provide. This is how long it might take. And here are all the points I'm going to cover. And here's the reasons why. Now here's the content. Obviously, doing that in a short space of time is quite difficult, but if you can master that, that really sets up success, because the consumer knows exactly at that point what's going to happen, and then makes a decision if they're going to accept that contract of attention, which I think is brilliant. The other thing that I think that I know worked in her favor was community. Now, if you've listened to the other podcast, you will know that I've been banging on about how community is definitely going to be the big changer for everything in marketing, is really holding on to a community. And a lot of people have missed this point. A lot of people think that the content went first on TikTok. It absolutely didn't. It was gaining ground on TikTok, but where it really sort of broke that sort of like that dam of attention was on Twitter, or X. Let's call it what it's called. It was on X. There was a community on X that were engaged in that type of storytelling, in that type of absurdness, that they were willing to go elsewhere to consume the content directly. So a lot of the noise and a lot of the attention started on Twitter. Whether someone has seen it on TikTok and then has come to Twitter to have a conversation about it, that started to snowball, and that community started talking more amongst themselves, started sharing, and got really loud about that particular thing. And then everyone who was interested decided to take their attention and move to the platform where the content was created. And again, community drove that entire attention and that entire traffic to one place for her to have all of this mass attention on TikTok. In Stephen Bartlett's book, one of the things that he pulls out is in marketing, one of the tactics is absurdity, if that's a word, or something that's really absurd, and being able to communicate in that crazy, in that crazy space of absurd. And if you can use it as a hook, a lot of times it works. And that's exactly what the story was around. If you haven't had a chance to go and check it out or even have a basic understanding about the story, it is absurd. So this relationship she gets into goes on a wild roller coaster of lies and deceit. And the cycle of that just gets worse and worse and worse. So because of the absurdity in that, I can't say that word, but because of how absurd it was, it drove a lot of attention. And again, that is another tactic that brands can use. And not every brand and not every retailer or business can use the absurdness of something, because it might not align with your brand identity. But if there is some sort of identity in the absurd with your brand, I would implore you to use it, but lean into it in a very natural way. So the three things that, again, I think moved the needle for that content was community. Even though the numbers are strong and amazing on TikTok and everybody now has seen her as a TikTok sensation, it started in a community, on a community-based platform. It was around the conversations that were had about that particular bit of content or pieces of content that then drove the wider community and the wider sort of community of the internet to a particular place to consume the content. So what am I saying? I'm basically saying that there are no rules. There are no rules around how to create content or how to cater to content on each platform, because clearly everything that she did was completely contrary to what we would know or what is told to us about how to be successful on TikTok. The truth is, and again, going back to something I've said before, the truth is, it's about human connection. It's about connecting on a human level. It's about stripping away job titles, stripping away what you think algorithms do, stripping away how you think certain platforms need to be catered for, and actually just create content that is authentic, that is upfront, and has a clear audience. And all of those things she had, coupled with, like I said, some of the mechanisms she used around teeing up every video and its authenticity, those things are always going to lead to a win. So I guess my wrap up on this is take a step back, really take a step back in terms of what you're doing around your marketing, and ask yourself, can the content that I'm creating drive a conversation within a community in a positive way, and for that community to then advocate on my behalf or be curious enough to go and check out the source of that content? Am I being authentic? Am I leaning into my identity as a brand, business, retailer, agency, etc.? Am I being upfront about the exchange of attention? So I'm asking for your attention because I want to give you this. Am I being upfront about that and letting you know exactly what you're going to get yourself into? And then the other point has completely left me. But I think those 3 points is, again, authenticity, community, and this human first nature. So I hope that all makes sense. If you haven't had a chance, please go and check out the content on LinkedIn, Risa Tisa. It is a wild story. It's a wild ride. But if you watch it, you'll understand why, again, you'll see some of those mechanisms, why I believe the content went took off on TikTok. So yeah, I hope you enjoyed that one. Again, it's just a bunch of rambles from me. I hope you stayed on to the end and listened. And I've got some more stuff coming. I want to talk about some more stuff specifically around LinkedIn. So that'll be the next episode around LinkedIn and what they say about their algorithm. So piggybacking off this conversation. So have a nice day and I'll speak to you soon. We'll be right back.